I am glad to be here. I wait for these opportunities since I love doing what I do, preaching the Word of God. Amen. Are you excited to hear the Word of God? Hallelujah. All right. Well, let's open Matthew chapter 5, verses 14 through 16. Some of you wonder, why do we take so much time to go through the Word of God? Because Bible says that unfolding of the Word of God brings light. So listen, you can know the Word of God, but it will not do you any good until you unfold it. Another word we use is meditate on the Word of God, meaning you take a verse and you unfold it. How many of you read a chapter in the Bible and you didn't understand a thing? Why does that happen? Because usually our mind is either at work, or in school, or on that boyfriend or girlfriend of ours, or husband or wife, we're arguing with our spouse in our mind, and we're reading the Bible hoping to find something, but our mind is arguing. See, Bible says reading the Word of God like that won't work. What you have to do, you have to unfold it. Have you ever got a note in school from somebody, like all folded up? Pass it to that person. And then what did you have to do? You have to unfold it. Otherwise, you cannot read the message in the note until you unfold it. So Bible says unfolding your word brings light. Amen. Now let's read the scriptures for today. And it says this: you are the light of the world. Turn to your neighbor and say to him, you are the light of the world. Say it. No, seriously, say, you are the light of the world. Amen. Look at that. We got a lively church today. Hallelujah. A city that is set on a hill cannot be hidden, nor do they light up a lamp and put it under a basket, but on a lampstand, and it gives light to all who are in the house. Let your light so shine before man that they may see your good works and glorify your Father in heaven. Hallelujah. Let me ask you a question. You ready for a question? How many of you would buy a car, a house, a motorcycle, a boat, even a bicycle in the dark? Meaning, you go at night, somebody's selling a car, you go at night, it's pitch dark, there's no light. And he's telling you, I have a good car here. And you say, I'll take it. How many of you would do that? How many of you would marry a person without looking at them first? In the darkness. Let me feel you. You a woman? Okay, she's a woman. Okay, I'm a man, so let's get married. That actually happened in the Bible to Jacob. Do you remember that? He thought he was marrying this beautiful, hot, model type looking Rachel. And when he woke up in the morning, that tells you don't get drunk on your wedding day. Because you don't know what you're going to end up with. He wakes up, and somebody reminded me of a movie about Jacob and Leah. And when he woke up, there was this looking woman with mustache, a little bit of a goatee. And he goes, what the? He was expecting what? Rachel, and he got Leah. That's what happens if you get married in the dark. You don't look first, okay? That's what happened to Isaac. He blessed the wrong person because he couldn't see. He wanted to bless Esau, but he blessed Jacob. Light makes a big difference in our life. Amen? Spiritual light makes even bigger difference in your life. Why do we not buy things in darkness? Because darkness hides defects, secrets, hidden things. And then when we bring it to light, imagine buying flowers and thinking they're beautiful for your fiance or for a girl you're just about to propose to, and you bring the flowers, and then you look and you're like, that's not what I thought it was going to be. The other day, Tanya and I were going to go look at the car for me to buy, because I'm driving this ugly pickup right now. It's my dad. It's not even mine. Thank you, Dad. It's a good truck. And Tanya went shopping. And she was supposed to come like at 6 or 7. But by the time she got home, it was like 8 or 9. And so I said, I promised the guy we're going to come and look at the car. But the time we got there, it was dark. And so I look at the car and it didn't speak to me, you know? You know how a car could speak to a guy? Just it says something to you. It says, buy me. Look at me. Look at the body. Look at everything. Look at the engine. But because it was dark, I was like, it's not speaking to me. I don't think I'm going to buy it. And later I'm like, that was a good deal. Why didn't I get it? It was dark. I couldn't buy it in the dark. You know, the color didn't speak to me. Amen. So, darkness is not a good thing. Have you ever thought how awful it would be to be blind? What about having sight and being locked up in a dungeon somewhere and never see any light? How awful would that be? Did you know that light deprivation has terrible effects on our physical bodies and on our nervous system? If your body does not get enough light, it doesn't get enough vitamin what, D, things start messing. If you spend too much time in darkness, something happens to your psyche. Amen? Let me read you something from Department of Education. There is no area of our mental or bodily functioning that the sun does not influence. Our bodies were designed to receive and use it in a wide range of ways. We were not designed to hide from the light in the houses, offices, factories, and schools. Sunshine reaching us through our eyes or our skin makes a big difference in our life. Did you know Solomon said how good it is to look upon the sun, to be able to see sun? On the sunny days, our attitude becomes better. On the gloomy, dark days, our attitude becomes kind of negative. We were human beings designed to live in the light. The first creative thing that God did on day one, into dark world, he said, let there be light. God didn't create anything except the foundation of it was light. I was reading a book by a positive thinker. It's not a Christian book. It's more motivational book. By Dr. Diedrich, I think his name was. He passed away already, but his books are pretty good. And one of the things he dissects is human matter. He says, if you go to human cell and go deep and divide human cell, at the end, you'll get light and energy, vibrating energy. That's all. Did you know that we are made out of, all matter is made out of light. Everything is made out of light. This world, God said, let there be light. And there was light and there was chaos. And if you like to call it Big Bang, which again, could God use Big Bang? I don't believe in the evolution type Big Bang. But there had to be something when God spoke something into nothing. I believe he spoke light because he's light. He blew light into this big balloon of the universe. And it was filled with light. And it sparkled and it exploded for a long time. And God looked at it and said, it's good. But he said, let's separate light from darkness. Before he created animals, plants, fish, everything, moon, stars, he created light. He did it out of light. Amen. So when we read that you are the light of the world, it is a big deal. Amen. And I'm not going to go into last week's message. If you want to listen what I said about light, natural and spiritual light, please get to our website, newlifechurchsf.org, and you can find that sermon there. But it would be awful to be blind, and it would be even more awful to have sight and be in captivity, in darkness. Amen? So, what is light? What is light? We're not talking about this light right here that we see. We're talking about different light that God created. Light is order. Light is everything that is good. That's what we see in the Bible. Light is transparency, intelligence, wisdom, life. Darkness, what does darkness represent in the Bible? Chaos, disorder, destruction, sleazy secrets, confusion, death, and hell. God says, I don't want you to live in darkness. I want you to live in the light. I want you to be full of light so you can be the light to the world. You are the light of the world. Amen. Why should you care about having this light in your life? Why should you care about this message? Pastor, just tell me, I've been beat up this week. I'm hurting, Pastor. My finances are messed up. My relationships are messed up. Why are you telling me about this light? I'll tell you why. Because light is life. And Jesus Christ said, I have come to give you life to the fullest. And that life comes through light. And my topic today, for today's message, how do I get filled with that light? But before I do that, let me give you a few practical tips on what light will do in your life. We're not talking about this light, although it has a big effect on our physical person. If you're full of life, your life becomes orderly. Let me give you this. Your mind comes into order, no confusion. Your soul, your emotions come into order. When you're full of God's life, your relationships come into order. If you're full of God's light, your finances come into order. Your self-esteem comes into order. Did you know some people have too much self-esteem to the point where they are narcissistic? It's all about me. It's all about what I do, right? I don't let my kids hang out with just anybody, but with your kids I will, because I'm so special. I'll let you be around under my wing because I'm so cool. Satan, he loves to inflate our self-esteem or deflate our self-esteem. And when light of God enters into us, we got healthy, positive, full of faith self-esteem. We know who we are apart from Christ. We know that nothing good dwells in our flesh. We know that. But we also know that God paid the price, that we are forgiven, that we're chosen, that He has a plan for us. He has a new beginning for us. Hallelujah. I'm excited. So our finances come into order when we're full of light. Our identity comes into order when we're full of light. You know, there's so much confusion about sexual identity these days. Wouldn't you agree? People don't know who they are. They're trying all kinds of stuff and they're confused and they're not happier. When we're filled with light, God restores us. And let me tell you, human beings, we all have identity issues. And our identity must be found in Christ alone and not in our riches and not in our success and not in our sexuality and not in our prosperity or popularity. It's got to be found in Christ. I'm a child of the King. That's it. That's number one thing. Jesus is my Lord. Hallelujah. I want to find my identity. And it's so horrible when you find your identity in money. You always chase, try to get more money. If it's in your sexuality and sex, you try to get more and it's never enough. And you show off and oh man, it's just a mess. Christ wants to be the source of your identity. And when His light fills you, gives you that identity. Hallelujah. Remember, Jesus Christ came to fill you with that light. So how do we get filled with the light? Let me give you quick 3 points and then we're going to pray. Number one, how do we get filled with light? Become a follower of Jesus. John 8:12 says this, then Jesus spoke to them again saying, I am the light of the world. He who follows me shall not walk in darkness, but have the light of life. Some of you might misunderstand this message and think, well, Bible says I am the light of the world. And you would be half right. Okay? It's like if I were to take a $100 bill and I were to rip it in half and give you half of it, you'd be half right. But it wouldn't be the whole thing. And that half wouldn't do you any good. That's why in our church we preach grace and truth. Because if you just preach one or the other, it's like ripping a $100 bill and saying, I got 100. You can even fold it and show off and say, look, I got 100. But when they open it, they're like, that's not 100. Give me the second half. Amen. Jesus said this, I am the light of the world. He who follows me shall not walk in darkness, but have the light of life. Let me give you an example. The moon by itself doesn't have any light. It doesn't produce any light. The moon is the reflection of the sun. And the only way the moon gives light is because the sun shines upon it. So Jesus said this, he who follows me shall not walk in darkness, but have the light of life. The light of life, meaning we'll have life to the fullest. Life to the fullest. He who follows me. A lot of your lives are just full of chaos and destruction, and you don't know what to do. You quote positive scriptures, but still nothing is happening in your life because you don't follow Christ. Let me give you an example, because the word follow me lost the meaning in our culture today. People follow people on Twitter. Some of you girls maybe follow Justin Bieber on Twitter. I don't know who you guys follow, but you know Justin Bieber writes something and says, hey guys, I love you. Hey girls. On Facebook, you follow people, but we follow people on different social sites, networks, but it doesn't mean that I follow somebody, I'm going to do what they say. Some people I follow, I don't like. I just want to know what they think. You know, keep your enemy close type things, right? But you don't do that. So when Jesus says follow me, he doesn't mean like follow Justin Bieber or Selena Gomez or Rihanna or Chris Brown or whoever you're following. Oh, some of those people are annoying, aren't they? Man, they write so much. Anyway, let's keep going. So when Jesus says follow me, there's a difference between believing in Jesus and following Jesus. He says, what I tell you to do, I'm your teacher, right? He says, what I tell you to do, that you do. See, I don't do everything whoever I follow on Twitter. I don't rarely do what they say, right? But when I say I'm a follower of Jesus, that means I'm obedient to Jesus. I read what he says. I try to put my ear and say, Lord, what are you saying to my heart? Amen. So who are you following? Who gives you the words to live by? Whoever we follow, they impact us. Let me ask you a question. Have you ever had a teacher, professor, a famous writer who influenced your life? Maybe a preacher that influenced your life. And every time you think about a question or a problem that you need to solve, you say, what would they say? What did they say? And then you quote them. Why? Because their words had impact on your life. You make decisions based on what they said. That's what Jesus said, follow me. He says, if you don't follow me, you won't be filled with this light. And your life will be chaotic, out of order, and destructive. But if you do follow me, you will have the light of life. Meaning you will have happiness. You will have joy in life if you follow me. And listen, it doesn't mean that your marriage will be perfect. It doesn't mean that your finances will be perfect if you follow him. It doesn't mean that. But it does mean that even in the storm, even in chaos, you can be full of faith and peace. And you know, there's nothing better when storms and waves come against you and you're walking and say, hey, this is kind of fun. Feels like a roller coaster. How many of you like smooth roads? Yeah, okay. I kind of like the wavy roads. I dream when I see a commercial and there's this new car driving through these mountain roads. I'm like, this would be so much fun. Gotta go to Seattle or something. You know, Washington or Oregon. Oregon, I mean, they live like on the hills. I'm like, if they had snow here, nobody would be making it to their houses because the hills are like, how do you drive a big truck on this hill? I'm like, yeah. So there's a difference between believing in God and following God. Jesus said, I'm the light of the world. If you follow me, he who follows me shall not walk in darkness. He wants you to stop just being a believer. Go to the next level. update your relationship with God. Amen. Go from a believer to follower to disciple to leader. And even if you need to sacrifice your life. If that need be. Hope not. But if that's what it takes, upgrade your relationship. You know, we all like upgrading our phones. Even the apps on our phones. Upgrade your relationship with Jesus. Because let me tell you what. You'll come to this church for a few months. If you don't upgrade, it'll become boring. Not that I won't preach the same good. Not that the band won't sing good. But you'll just be bored because your relationship. That's what happens. Why people leave church? Because they never upgrade their relationship with God. There is a next level. People, there is a next level. God wants you to move. Our church is moving to the next level. We're going to be owners of the building. We spiritually need to move as well to the next level. God is calling you. Next level. Next level. You know what the Bible says? That demons believe in God and tremble. James 2:19. You believe that there is one God. You do well. Great. That's good for you, it says. James. That's a brother of Jesus writing. Even the demons believe and tremble. So they go a step deeper. You just believe, they tremble. Oh, Jesus, we believe, we believe. We know him. But what? They're going to spend eternity in hell. Doesn't do them any good just to believe. Jesus is calling you to be a follower of him. He who follows me shall have the light of life. Amen. Number two. How to be filled with the life, light of God. Fill your life with the Word of God. Fill your life with the Word of God. Don't just say, I'm a follower of Jesus. What does it mean to follow Jesus? That's step two now. You got to fill yourself with His Word. Do you know why some people have a problem separating from the world? Because they have never seen the Word of God. They've never read it. They've never allowed this word to pierce them, penetrate them. Do you know that light has a piercing effect? Light. If you have a crack in a dish, ladies, you want to know how to... Light could get in into even smallest cracks. If you want to test something, take a plate or a glass, put it to the light. And if there's a crack, the light will expose it. Light has a way of piercing through things. And the Word of God is double-edged sword, has a power to go deep and pierce to the deepest parts of your bones, Bible says. Why don't we change? Why is nothing bothering us in life? Because we're not allowing the Word of God to pierce us. And listen, you can quote all the positive quotes from Facebook, from other preachers. But unless you allow the Word of God to penetrate you, nothing will happen. It's like a boat that's sinking. And you're saying, I'm not sinking. By grace of God, I'm a man of God. We're all good. Look at us. We're still. And bloop, 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 bloop. And you're sinking. Your life is sinking, but you're confessing positive scriptures. See, people took the scriptures as formulas. Meaning, I don't want Jesus. I just want something to make me feel good and make what I'm doing. That's what Bible calls the adulterous generation. Jesus called that in his day, and it's even worse today. Meaning, Jesus, give me the money so I can go and spend it with the devil. Honey, give me the money so I can go and spend it with another honey. That's what it is. You see what I mean? And God says, no, 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 we're not going to do that. We're not going to do that. Listen, you want big change in your life? This is the way. This is the way. And confession is good. I'm telling you, positive confession is good. I'm not, knocking on the positive confession. It might be what keeps you sane in your chaos. But you want to get out of the chaos? I don't want to just always be in the chaos. I want to get out of the chaos. I want to get out of this financial hole that I'm in. I want to have an emergency fund, actually. Do you see what I'm saying? A lot of people just live from day to day and they're always in financial trouble. Why? Not because they don't make enough, but because they don't allow the light to change that. And listen to this. Fill your life with the Word of God. Psalm 119, 105. Read it. Your Word is a lamp unto my feet and the light unto my path. Let's read it again. Your Word. Okay, that's pathetic. Do it again. Your Word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. That's the way. Gotta be the Word. Gotta be the Word. God says, why are you going? In Isaiah, this is in Isaiah. He says, why are you going and paying money for things that cannot satisfy? Come to me, all you who are thirsty, and drink freely. The Word of God is free. Take it, drink it. I'm telling you, it will bring order in your life. In the morning when everything is chaotic and you want to go start solving problems, I'm preaching to myself, Jesus, because I'm like that. I have problem with patience. I want to get up and tackle the day. But I know. Take 15 minutes. Just spend some time with the Word and things fall into order. You meet the right people at the right time. I had this miraculous experience yesterday. I was in Menards buying some blocks, and I was praying a few days ago, Lord, help me meet this person. I need to speak to that person. It's about our church finances, you know? And I was like, I don't want to call him. It'd be awkward. We don't have that great of a relationship, but let me meet him. And here I am in Menards, and he comes and says, hey, good to see you. And I'm like, oh, hi. And the Lord is like, hey, that's your answer. Go talk to him. And so I talked. It was perfect opportunity. We were buying the same blocks. The same blocks. I mean, the same on sale blocks. He buys stuff cheap. I buy stuff cheap. You know? And so it was just God. Take the time. Ask him to arrange your day and watch. Do you always end up being at the wrong place at the wrong time? That's because you need to sit down in the morning and say, God, put the lamp in front of me. A friend of mine this morning as I was preparing for this message said he was driving from Mexico to California. And on the Mexican border, they tried to jump his vehicle or something, but they crossed wires and his alternator went bad. He was helping somebody jump a vehicle and his alternator went bad. And so he was driving up on the mountain and he said his lights just disappeared. And so here he is, says he's trying to drive without lights, and there's a van behind him trying to at least help him a little bit. And he said he drove like that for a little bit, but then when he got to the top of the mountain, he says, I can't do this. I'm going to crash. It's too dark. Have you ever tried driving in the mountains without lights in a dark, dark, dark night? No stars? That would be crazy, right? You need light before you. Have you ever hit your toe because you were walking at night in your house and you didn't see something and you just kicked it and they were like, ah. God says, listen to this. Life is never smooth sailing. How many of you would agree? There's always storms. There's physical things that create problems for us, and there are spiritual things that create problems for us. Life is never easy and simple. There's always problem. The only constant is change in life. Amen. We need light to know where we're going, to see what we're buying, to know what we're getting into. We need the light of God in our life desperately. You know, a lot of problems are caused in our life because we self-induce problems. Because we said we're going to do this without God. And then we end up in situations we never wanted to be. And then it's too late. Now, can God turn a bad situation into a good situation? Of course He can. But why get in it in the first place? That wisdom is not getting in it in the first place. Jesus said, a fool builds a house without first counting the cost. And then he says when he starts building, he didn't have enough money. So people laugh at him and said, look, he started building a house, couldn't finish it. Wisdom is what? Counting the cost. What are the consequences of my relationship with these people? What are the consequences of my spending habits? And the Word of God addresses all of that. Young people, before you get into many troubles, before you listen to what the world says, read this. Get a habit like brushing teeth, just like putting makeup on ladies, you know? Get a habit of putting the Word of God, the light, in front of you. So we have, our life is never smooth sailing. There's always barriers, potholes in the road, spiritual potholes. 1 Peter 5:8. Stay alert, watch out for your great enemy, the devil. He prowls around like a roaring lion, looking for someone to devour. Listen, Satan is always looking how he can make your smooth sailing bumpy, how he can put a big hole in front of you. And if there's no headlights, if your alternator is out, you got to stop, fix it, and then keep driving so you can see where you're going.
Thank you for listening to this sermon. I believe that the words of Jesus spoke directly to your heart, and now you have an opportunity to respond. You can do that by praying a simple prayer. Jesus, save me, forgive me, and draw me closer to you. If you prayed this prayer, or if these messages had some impact in your life, would you consider sharing your testimony on our homepage? Your stories encourage others as we bring people closer to Jesus.